Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Callum Summerton, CEO of Chill Brands. Welcome back, Callum.
Morning, Phil. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. So obviously we saw the news that you addressed the UK government's recent proposals on regulating disposable vape products. The government's potential legislation, which might be enacted by late 2024 or 25, suggests banning the sale of disposable vape products, although details remain uncertain. In response, you, known for its compliance with legal standards, highlight that its nicotine-free vape products already feature USB-C recharging ports, distinguishing you from typical disposable vapes and offering extended usability. The company is proactively developing a compliant reusable pod system vapor device to meet the anticipated regulatory changes. This new product line is designed to support users in gradually reducing nicotine intake, potentially expanding Chill Brands' market reach. Concurrently, the company plans to work closely with its retail partners to ensure a smooth transition in product offerings. Sounds like plans are afoot to beat this potential legislation, Callum.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'd say to start with, look, this is very frustrating news from the government. There's no sense in sort of shying away from that. I think it's really the equivalent of trying to crack a nut, not just with a sledgehammer, but with a pneumatic drill. It's really, disappointing in the sense that actually we know how important these products are, disposable vapes, not just Chill's disposable vapes, but all in getting adult smokers to quit, in allowing them to move away from tobacco, but also, in relation to other issues that this sort of brings up. But look, we've got a UK market that is very widely already serviced by the black market. And if anybody thinks that that will get better by introducing prohibition, well, just look how well that's gone for other things like illegal narcotics. So yeah, very disappointing news, but I suppose getting to the sort of heart of the issue for Chill, well, look, what I would say is we don't have an indication when any actual policy may come into effect as yet, but we are expecting, and we've seen reports of at least a 6-month period from implementation for retailers to make a change. That's a very long lead time, and let's assume that there is a period of time before that where they actually get their house in order in relation to, what is coming into effect. We have not yet seen any sort of specifics on this. So far, it is government PR. Yeah. Beyond that, some reports have even suggested that they want to get it done by the end of 2025. If that is the case, we have a very long grace period of 23 months. I'm not, counting all my chickens home yet, but, certainly we are quite comfortable. It's also unclear yet if Parliament will need to work through this in the usual manner. And if so, they've got to work out when they're going to fit in that legislative process before the general election, if they're able to do that at all.
So there's also mention, I think, on the news bulletin this morning about them talking about changing or introducing powers to stop refillable vapes being sold in, flavours effectively, which are marketed at children, and to also require that they be produced in sort of plain and less appealing packaging. How would you have to adapt, the product range to meet those requirements in terms of flavouring and packaging?
Yeah, so it's certainly, look, I think I've said all along, there are areas of the vaping industry that have focused on the wrong things. They have looked at sort of the low-hanging fruit of, candy floss flavors and unicorn tears and all of these sorts of things. I think that's quite unnecessary. And in relation to flavors, the government is taking further advice now, per their own announcements, on which flavors should be appropriate. But what we do understand is that, look, fruit flavors are very, very important to the adult quit process. They're responsible for, I believe, 80% of successful adult quit smoking attempts made using vapes. So I don't expect too much change there. In the Chill range, we already have fruit flavors, and they are as plain as can be in that sense that they're very, very tasty, they're very attractive in the sense that for an adult smoker, they are appealing. But we haven't gone out to market with sort of confectionery flavors. So we will continue to follow that strategy and adjust as needed. Beyond that, in terms of packaging, I think, look, there will be guidance on packaging that comes to pass. I don't think we will be in an environment where they move towards the same sort of plain or completely plain packaging that we see with combustible cigarettes. And that is simply because they continue to recognize vaping as a better alternative than those combustibles, and so don't want to make it as unattractive. So I suppose in terms of sort of marketing guidelines and what happens there, there will be changes. There will be restrictions on where products can be placed in stores, not necessarily behind the curtain, again, as we see with tobacco. but rather away from confectionery. Those are all things that we absolutely agree with. I guess it's a question now then of you know, what happens in terms of the product itself in relation to our existing products. It's not clear yet how the government intends to define disposables. Our 3000 puff product, for example, contains a charging port and may escape. We just don't know until further color is given. But our retailers will continue to sell through them for the time being. It is business as usual. We, in fact, start our rollout into Morrison's stores today. But beyond that, I suppose, look, we're already working on bringing our reusable pod system to market. We've taken initial expressions of strong interest, not only from our existing retailers, but from more besides. It's another product that we've worked with our distribution partners to tailor for the retail market so that it fits with demand that already exists. And so, look, we're as prepared as can be at this stage of the game. We will continue to sharpen the knife, keep working as we move towards a new regulatory environment.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? I mean, as you said, it's not really even a sledgehammer. It's a giant stepping on a nut sort of thing to try and crack it. But that aside, I think it's important for everybody to realize that this is proposed legislation. We haven't got any legislation actually coming in, and we've got a change of government coming up. But for the sake of argument, if we're in a situation where it takes, let's say, 8 months, which probably would be the absolute quickest it could possibly come in based on the 6 month lead time that is available. Where was chilled.com in terms of vaping 8 months ago? And where do you see you will be in 8 months based on this actually coming in?
Yeah, so look, I think that's a really good question on the basis that 8 months ago, we're looking at July 2023, and 8 months ago, we had not launched our vaping product into the UK. We had our initial kind of pilot on the run, you know, going in the US. And by the way, the US market and other foreign markets not only remain open to us, but we're continuing to grow into them now. But look, we've delivered what we have, a huge retail uptake, you know, great exposure for the brand, most importantly, sales, in a very short period of time. I do not believe that, you know, this is by any means, you know, the big sort of shockwave for us, at least, that people expect it to be. Look, this is an industry, a business that is constantly changing. Think about how, you know, the market swung towards disposables over the course of the last few years. We have to adapt and change as well. We're an agile company. I think anybody who knows about Chill Brands, Zoetic or Highland Natural Resources will know that the company is able to pivot in times of difficulty. And this is no different. So, yeah, I think looking ahead, where does that leave us in another 8 months' time? Well, look, we will have brought our new product to market. We will have continued to expand our distribution channels for the existing product overseas. And, well, we'll also have some clarity about what these laws actually mean if they come into effect. Of course, it's also perfectly possible that we'll be on course for a new government by that stage as well.
Yeah, and it is important that this is only the United Kingdom, because I think there are some plans you've mentioned before in previous interviews about Europe and obviously expanding into the US. And I suppose a question that probably everybody would, do you have to start again with the likes of Morrison's and any of the other retailers? Or is it just a case of, okay, this is the new version of our product, would you like?
Yeah, no, we don't have to start those discussions completely fresh, in the sense that we have the relationships. You know, these retailers are going to be wanting the revenue. They don't want to, you know, completely lose that as a result of government legislation. We've seen in the last 2 years that vaping is the hottest category in grocery. That is an enormous hit for them to take if they can't find a way to replace that revenue, replace that product. So I'm talking about the retailers here. And so, look, they are in the market for products that can fill that gap. So, you know, this may actually come as a means to sort of galvanize us, as a means to, you know, further strengthen our commercial model, because we will stay in the market, fight on, and provide a product that does fill the gap, as I say. So, no, we don't have to start the conversations again. We've already started talking to our distributor about the new product. They are very, very bullish on it, and we would have gone in this direction anyway, regardless of legislation. It might move our timetables up a little bit, our timelines further. But, you know, it's more of the same, in the sense that we're just introducing another product under the Chill brand to retailers who already buy products from that Chill brand and are quite keen to do that on an ongoing basis.
Yeah, you mentioned in the RNS that has gone out that you were talking about a product with nicotine, but with obviously potential to reduce the nicotine, obviously, that people take. Can you give us a bit more yes. color around this?
Yeah, absolutely. So look, with the Chill Zero product, what we have discovered is obviously that there is a market for people who are coming to the end of their quit nicotine journey, their quit tobacco journey, and they want something that, again, it's about bridging a gap, but they want something that, you know, provides them with the oral fixation, you know, the puffing, the flavors. It will get them off of these products when they are no longer chemically addicted, but only habitually addicted. So that's what we've noticed and seen with the zero nicotine product. But what we've also seen as a result of our foray into this market is that the vast majority of companies focus only on the strongest strengths of nicotine. They push ever upwards, as we see in the alcohol market, the cannabis market. People always go for higher and higher strength. And what people perhaps don't understand is that a lot of customers really do want something that is more precisely dosed. They want something that is of a lower strength, because there's really no need for them to constantly be exposing themselves to ultra strength product. With that in mind, what we have seen again is an opportunity to introduce a product to market that provides people with those precise doses at various levels that they can allow then to wean themselves, they can use to wean themselves off of nicotine. And this is really the purpose of vaping. This is the utility of the whole product. And our intention is, rather than providing this one-size-fits-all 20-milligram nicotine vape product, as so many competitors do, to introduce something that delivers somebody from their last cigarette to their last vape. And that's as simple as it gets.
And is there any sort of way that, you know, that Chill can sort of wave the flag in terms of NHS type things? I mean, the NHS already said they were going to buy vapes, which is quite bizarre now that the government's saying that they're going to basically ban disposable vapes, even though the NHS was going to take them on. So, I mean, is there any potential there for Chill to move in and say, by the way, we have this product that will really help people stop smoking?
Yeah, very much so. It's certainly a possibility that we can introduce our product into those channels. And when it does come to market, we'll be making a lot of noise about it. We will be taking every opportunity to get it out in front of decision makers within the public health space. And the key really is that this is a product that we are designing from the bottom up to be something that provides adult smokers and adult nicotine users with a means to get themselves off of the substance. We're not trying to create this to further fuel the addiction economy. Of course, that is the criticism that is always levied against vaping brands, smoking brands. And by and large, it is true. But this is why we're looking at introducing something that gradually gets people off of the product, gives them the means and the tools that they need to, you know, perform a true sort of tobacco cessation sort of exercise. With that said, look, there can be no guarantee that, of course, we'll be able to get any product in some sort of affiliation with the NHS. But I would like to think that with the way we're designing this, with the intentions that we have, and with the product category being what it is right now, and that is, you know, fixated again on higher strength products, our sort of alternative product will have legs. And we certainly believe that, you know, if you are a public health authority, it should be quite an attractive proposition.
So just an overview of the vape market. As you in Chill Brands are sort of at one end of that sort of system, if you like, which says, here's a vape, it has no nicotine in it, and it has much greater puff size. And that was basically why I think the supermarkets had wanted to take it. Where at the other end, we've got Candy Floss, Unicorn, Tears, trying to sell to the children, basically, and probably coming in illegally already. Now, do you think this ban will stop illegal vapes coming into the United Kingdom?
No, this is a gift to the black market. This ultimately, this will be, you know, drive it. They'll be rubbing their hands with glee this morning, because if we look at what's happened in Australia, for example, they've implemented a ban on vapes. And by the way, they've not listened to their colleagues over in New Zealand, who realized it was a bad idea before they implemented it and pulled it completely. But what we've seen in Australia is that, you know, exactly the same number of people are still vaping. 90% of them are now buying their products on the black market. We've heard the media for months and months crowing about the dangers of vapes, you know, children, you know, consuming vapes with all sorts of illicit substances in them. And their response to it has been ban, ban, ban. Well, the problem is you can't ban an illegal product. You cannot ban or sort of protect your market against a product that has been prohibited. That is very, very much within the sort of wheelhouse of the black market. They then control the market. And this is what we've seen happening time and time again. You know, earlier on, I used that comparator to, illegal narcotics. That has not gone well for the government. They're not able to keep those out of the country. They're not able to stop people sampling those. And therefore, I would sort of question what makes them think they're going to be able to really, stop corner stores, black market dealers from selling, illicit vapes. This is a gift to any of the sort of shadier operators. And it is very frustrating in that sense. We will see continued advocacy from the likes of the UK Vape Industry Association and others who will be highlighting this point. You know, Action on Smoking Health, ASH, who are far from being vaping advocates, have also raised the same concerns. But I think the key is this. While the black market will thrive in a prohibition environment, as it always has done throughout human history, there is an opportunity to introduce, again, a trusted brand with a quality product that fully fits within the regulations. And that is what we will do.
Okay. Carlos Summerton, CEO of Chill Brands, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks very much, guys.
Thanks, Carl.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.